like to thank you, BNP, for sharing. And at this time, I would like to introduce our next speaker, Ed S. from the Washington, D.C.
My name is Ed, and I'm an addict. I want to thank CPR CNA 28 for asking me to come out and share my experience, strength, and hope. I want to thank God for the life I live today. You know what I mean? Thanks to y'all wonderful people. I want to just say that I was born and raised in Washington, D.C. Can't blame getting high on my family because I was a good kid. You know what I mean? My mother and father did the best they could. Dad wasn't in the house, but he never left me on the porch. You know what I mean? And I try to be there for my kids the same way. I could just say that, I went to school, made good grades, played the violin when I was young, got a lot of guys joined on me about that. You know, I lived over by Eastgate in Simple City, man, playing the violin just wasn't a tough Tony thing, you know what I mean? Chased me home, talked about me real bad, so I threw the violin away and wanted to get with the rough guys, you know what I mean? And, as I got older, I just wanted to fit in, play basketball, football, box a little bit, things like that. But never fitting in nowhere until I got here with y'all people. You know what I mean? You know, had good jobs, Metro, U.S. Treasury Department, and things like that. But, just couldn't find no balance in my life. None. You know what I mean? Always got high from 14 all the way up. You know what I mean? And just thought that, didn't think I had a problem. I didn't think putting PCP putting PCP and cocaine together was a problem, you know what I mean? I still could go to work and things like that, but just to bring it up today right now, I lived the best life. You know, I never would have asked for this life before. This year has been a real promising year for me. You know, I work a job that slows down periodically. This year it didn't slow down, you know what I mean? I got married this year. Oh, my God. And, the topic is keeping my side of the street clean. I can apply that to every area of my life, you know what I mean? You know, I'm a shop steward now on my job. I've been there for 7 years. Love my job, you know what I mean? Put in trade shows, take out trade shows. Actually, one of the companies I work for did this convention right here, you know what I mean? And it's just it's a marvelous thing knowing that you got a job to go to. Life insurance, health insurance, And, you ain't suffering from the horrors of the disease of addiction no more. Why? I ain't been high almost 8 years. July 11th be 8 years. Complete. But, I just know that I came here with nothing. And I thought that drugs was my problem. You know, but when the drugs are gone, that's when the real you show up. You know, because when the drugs left, I started to realize that, I still thought I was cool in the gang and all that good stuff, right? Try to play the women, you know what I mean? Oh, my gosh, man. You know, women are the beautifulest creatures in the world, man. You know what I mean? I saw a thing on Facebook the other day that said why black women are so mad. And it went back to show slavery and things like that and everything they've been through, you know, and I just... I just took total advantage of lying, cheating, stealing. You know, I came here as a womanizer. I was a daggone thief, you know, heroin addict, cocaine addict. I was just all of the above. But, you know, God saved me. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. I mean, I know God sent me to Narcotics Anonymous. Because I'm one of them guys that go to jail and get real religious. You know what I mean? Want to read the Bible fast. You know, pray for everybody and all that. You know, I saw a guy here today. You know, he said, man, you used to pray for me all the time. I wouldn't even, you know. And the truth is, I would go to church. I'd go to church in jail, but get out and commit to killing myself again. You know what I mean? That disease is serious. They say it's insidious. Wait for you at the door to jail. As soon as you get out, your commissary money that your folks sent you, you go straight back to the avenue. You know what I mean? And but the beauty of it today is I just don't want to hurt nobody's feelings no more. You know what I mean? I try to be respectful. When I'm talking about, I'm doing stuff like this today. I was in Target a couple of weeks ago. This lady dropped her money. And it was that colorful money. Green, red, and all that. You know what I'm saying? she was in one of them little hobbler rounds, and I saw the money. You know, Target got the hard floors and the carpet, the money on the carpet. And I said, Miss, and she said, yes. I went over there, picked her money up, handed it back to her, man. And, you know, myself said, man, you could have used that money. For real. Because my thinking ain't always my best friend. You know, but I know that if I would have took that lady's money, I would have had a lot of stuff come down the pipe for me. You know, that's keeping your side of the street clean. Not stealing. You know what I mean? Because I'm used to if you drop something, hey, that's a blessing right there. You know what I mean? For real. You know what I mean? And, you know, the job I work, man. I'm the youngest shop steward on the job. So I work every hour. And they've been, you know, it's been so good this year. Yeah, I got my wife in the union with me now. You know what I mean? And we work together. You know what I mean? And I could just, one day I was there, and it's this little, you know, my job, you can walk on to jobs. You know, you can go to the convention center and sit down. They have a walk-on list where if somebody don't show up, you get on. And there was a little Spanish guy. He'd be there every day, 3 o'clock. And if the job started at 5, he'd be there about 4 o'clock, you know. And I saw him, and I said, you my first walk-on, you know. So I signed the list and put him on there. And when it was time for, you know, the people to come in, this guy came and said, man, I brought my brother down. Could you put my brother on? Right? And I said, well, he was first. I said, if you take two people, your brother and him get on. You know, and I went to the bathroom. This was at the Gaylord. I went to the bathroom. When I came out the bathroom, it was a Caucasian brother. He said, those niggas and Spanish people stick together. You know what I mean? And that just shocked me that he would even say something like that. You know what I mean? And I immediately went back to my desk, called my sponsor. You know what I mean? Told my sponsor, man, I feel like doing something to this guy, man. You know, I'm shaking on the inside, right? And my sponsor said, well, you have a job, you can't do nothing to nobody. You can't even curse nobody out. Won't you call your boss and tell him what happened? You understand what I'm saying? That's where the sponsor, see, sometimes keeping my side of the street clean requires that I call somebody else for some advice. You know what I mean? I got to keep that, because, see, I ain't always thinking. Like my man said, I'm not going say the serenity prayer and all that stuff when you get to my emotions. You understand what I'm saying? When I'm shaking, I'm you know, because I'm still that shaky individual on the inside. You do something to scare me, I might react. But I called my boss. I called my boss and I told him what happened. He said, well, I want you to go and, you know, tell the guy to pack his stuff and leave, because we don't have that type of stuff around here on the work floor. You know what I mean? You're there to provide a safe working environment. You know what I mean? And I told him that. And that, you know, I called the little meeting, me, him, and the foreman, another cage guy, he came over. He said, what happened, man? So I'm telling him, I heard him say the N-word in Spanish, and he said the Spanish guy said, and he, not the N-word, man. And I'm sitting there like, really? Okay. I said, well, that's what he said, you know what I mean? So the guy, I wasn't talking to him. I said, but you was talking about me. But, you know, just doing the next best thing, man, kept me my job, man. I'm not going, you know, I ain't putting my hands on nobody. Put your hands on me, I'm calling the cops on you. I ain't tough, you understand what I'm saying? But, you know, the beauty of this program is it teaches us to be productive citizens of society, man. Y'all people didn't help me out. Another thing I am is a number playing addict. I haven't played the number in 3 weeks. That's beautiful to me. And you know, I always got to tell myself, I used to say, if you can arrest the disease of addiction, you should be able to arrest your attitudes. But playing that number, man, I will go into one of those stores and a bunch of these addicts in here tell you, they didn't see me in there. I'll be in there playing my number, play Pacino, play all this stuff. I play every dime in my pocket sometimes. You know, and then I caught myself, like about a month ago, my wife said, how much did you play? I said, I paid $60. I played about $200, man. You know what I said? I got to stop this, man. Because, you know, you don't keep no money in your pocket when you're a gambler like that, like me. You know what I mean? I'll just, I ain't gonna tell you that one. But, you know, I just conjured up my mind. I missed the number. And I said, man, I'm tired of giving my money to the lottery. You can't beat the lottery. I remember 1 month, I probably had played about $2,000 worth of numbers. And I felt like I had smoked my money up. You understand what I'm saying? I had that same feeling. And then I caught myself one day saying, I'll just pay my cell phone bill next week. I'm going to go, because it's the number coming. You understand what I'm saying? This is what I'm telling myself. So keeping my side of the street is just doing the things that's necessary to make my life a better place to live. You know what I mean? I love taking my kids out, man. I got four beautiful daughters. You know, love to take them out, see them smile, things like that stuff that my father did for me, you know what I mean? And I was just, I'm just so glad that I made it to Narcotics Anonymous. Seriously, this is the best place for any addict. Any addict, you know. You know, our message is to stop using drugs, lose the desire, find a new way to live. And it can happen to anybody. I'm talking about, and another part of keeping my side of the street clean is basically working the steps too. You know, do some. When you get in here, it's, you can sit around and stay clean, but you know you'll be a dry addict. You know what I mean? I've experienced a lot of things since being here. I mean, death of friends, death of loved ones. I just don't see getting high. You know, paying nothing off. I don't want to get high no more, man. And you know, the beauty of this whole concept. This is my like seventh time coming down here to Ocean City. I love, you know, just driving down here, going to the outlets, seeing y'all people, you know, just going to workshops, hearing things. I love playing cards. You know, it's just people that are in my life today that are doing the right things, right? And I want to be, you know, they say it's all right to copy a person as long as you copy the right cat, you know what I mean? And I just want to, I'm living the life of my dreams right now. You know what I mean? I definitely don't want to hurt my wife. You know what I mean? I tell her stuff sometimes. You know, I was, the other day, this lady had said something to me. We were at a dance. And she said, "You got a nice smile, you know." And my ego said, "Hmm." I went straight over there and told her. That lady said, "I got a nice smile." Yeah. Because, you know, myself. Boy. Myself would tell me, "You might be able to get away with that, champ." You know what I mean? I don't even want to give myself a chance. You know, I'm not listening to yourself, you know. But, you know, like he was talking about the fourth step, man. You know, when you do a good fourth step and write down all that stuff about yourself and start seeing what you need to recover from, you know what I mean? And then when you do a fifth step, you talk to somebody about it and they can read over. Now you done told somebody all this stuff about yourself that you never thought you would ever tell anybody, you know. Wow, that right there is a big freedom in itself. You know, letting go some of that garbage. But I can just say that, you know, keeping my side of the street clean, is, that was the right thing for me. Because, wow, I just, boy, oh boy, I'm, you know, sometimes in my life, I just want to do other things. Like, I want to go back to school. I want to do this, that, and the other. And I see other people doing that, graduating and stuff like that. But then, you know, things pick up. You change your decisions. And I got a really, really good father, man. My father's 70-something years old. He's retired. We go have lunch together sometimes. And he told me last week, he said, "Man, you stick to that recovery stuff." Like, it's, you know, like it's the best. He said, "But I love it. Keep on doing it." You know, he said, "I'm so glad to have my son back." You know what I mean? That's what he, and you know, I lied. I can just remember one incident. I told my father that some dudes were going to kill me if I didn't give him $600. My father from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, man, he bought me a bus ticket to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He said, "I'll pay the guys, but I want you to leave, right?" And I said, "Well, give me $600. He gave me $600. Took me to the bus station. And as soon as I seen this car roll out, I went out the back door. I ain't even sell a ticket. I just went on to go get high, man. And when he came back over my mother's house, so my mother never would put me out, right? I was downstairs on the couch sleep. He knocked on the door and came in. Came downstairs and he said, "Lord, have you talked to Ed?" She said, "Ed downstairs on the couch." And he came in and he, you know one thing he said? "Don't ask me for anything else. If you're that bad where you'll lie to me, just don't ask me for anything else." You know what I mean? Never, my father's never put his hands on me. He's never beat me, anything like that. Probably should have, but, you know, he never did. But I can honestly say that, I just, you know, he treat me like I'm really somebody today. At one time, you know, I call him, you know, I used to call my father from jail, and he used to say stuff like, "Oh, you home again?" You know what I'm saying? Because I got caught in that spiral going back and forth to jail. You know, all three of my sisters are doing good, man. My brother died as a direct result of this disease. And like my sister, man, a lot of people tell me, stop talking to my sister. My sister wasn't a funny type of person, man. She love you when you clean, hate you when you get high. Then she'll hate you if you do something to her that she don't like. And everybody like, cut her. I can't cut my sister off. Love my sister. You know what I mean? Every time I came home from jail, that girl opened her door for me, man. She'd let me come stay in her house until she found, until she thought I was getting high. Or she got sick and tired of me and said, look, I'm going to help you rent a room. You got to go, champ. You know what I mean? But the beauty of this program is it's giving me an opportunity to make choices. You know, keeping your side of the street clean is basically making the right choices in whatever situation, whatever role you're playing. Play the right role. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I'm going to share this last little story, and I'm going to let it roll. A couple of weeks ago, last year, me and my daughter, we went to Six Flags, and she hurt her back. And, I took her out, and I got her on my insurance, but I never gave them her Social Security number because her mother never gave me the twins. I got twin daughters at 13. They'll be 13 this year. I never gave my union their Social Security number. So I called their mother. She told me a bill was coming. I said, well, I got to give the Social Security number to my union hall. She said, well, I don't feel comfortable giving you this Social Security number. I'm like, dang, you think I'm going to do something with this social? You know, she said, well, I just don't. And so I said, well, all right, the bill will just keep coming. And she said, no, I gave your address, man, to be coming to you. You know what I mean? So I'm like, you just want to mess up everything, don't you? So, you know, I let it go. And then she went to a conversation that me and her probably should have had 5 years ago. Your daughters, because I have another daughter, too. I'm court ordered to get every weekend, right? And she come over every weekend. She said, you just act like you got one daughter now. You don't even spend time with your daughters. You're not even a good parent. Just beat me all up, right? I'm like, I call them every weekend asking they want to go out. You got them telling them that Walt Disney movies are, not good because Walt Disney was a part of the Illuminati. They don't know nothing about no Illuminati. Seriously. I mean, I'm saying, you messing up to take the time out, And so, she said, she just went on to badger me, and I got so mad. I said, she said, one of your daughters told me she doesn't even think her father loves her. And that was a low blow, you know what I mean? The next day, I was supposed to go do a presentation at their school. I said, if I'm that bad to you and my daughters, won't you just stop calling? Don't call me no more. And my mind told me, man, just to cut everybody off. And I called my sponsor, the same old thing. He said, man, you're going to that presentation tomorrow for you and your daughters, not for her. Come on, man, don't cut your kids off. Are you crazy? You know what I mean? But sometimes the arrogance, the little boy come back in. I want, she hurt my feelings, so I'm going to show her. I'm not hurting my kids because somebody else, got issues themselves that probably need to be dealt with. You know what I mean? But, I went on to the presentation because it was a career day, and it worked out good, man. And, I asked my daughter, because they're teenagers now. I said, did you tell your mother that you ain't think I like? She said, no, I know my father. She said, well, now, my sister might have said that, but I know. Because, twins got different personalities. One of them talked to me all the time. Oh, and quiet like her mother. You understand what I'm saying? But I told her, I said, I'm doing the best that I can. You know what I mean? If y'all call me, y'all have a trip, you want some shoes, you need to go out, call me, and I'm going to try my best to do it if I can. God has given me a whole opportunity to live again, man, and I just want to be the best person that I can be. I don't want to steal nobody's money no more. I don't want to go back to jail no more. I don't want to use no more. So, all I can say is I'm going to try to keep my side of the street clean to the best of my ability so that I can stay out of that type of living. Thanks for letting me share. Hey.